From St. Joseph, Missouri, here is Travis Lee Hartman.
When you're not wrong, you're also not right. Isn't that true?
That could have been so perfect.
It is perfect. That's
it's true, too.
And that's how we're going to lead in, just like that. Welcome to the next episode of Weighing In with Travis Hartman. We are in episode 21. It's been 21 weeks, so you've been on this journey with us. Thank you so much for following along. If you have not yet subscribed to our content, please do. It's on YouTube, Spotify, Facebook, Instagram. You know where to find us, Weighing In with Travis Hartman. We are there. We're also on Triller. We'll get into Triller in a few minutes here because there's a somewhat big event coming up this weekend, Travis.
I mean, it's kind of big.
And not talking about Turkey Day.
Other than Turkey Day.
So we'll get into that in a minute. First off, thanks to our media sponsors, or partners, I should say, media partners, TH Boxing, Gulfstream Financial, and IF Enterprises. As always, thank you for the support and... I don't know, the media help, I guess.
Yeah, definitely.
All right.
Definitely.
So, hi. How are you?
What's up, B-Money?
Yeah, glad to be back.
B-Money?
B-Money!
It's up there. So, weekend, Trav.
What's up, bro? Give it to me. Give it to me straight.
I need to ask you a little
bit. Don't sugarcoat it, Brandon. Don't sugarcoat it.
What's up with the lack of weekend, Trav attire?
You know what? I did get called out on our little Facebook Live. I'm going to step it up. I am going to go ahead and promise everybody that next week, next episode, you're going to see full-on tropical weekend Trav.
I feel like there's a lot of directions you can go leading into this holiday season with weekend Trav. I feel like your repertoire,
we can be creative.
Your wardrobe can really expand here.
And I hope it does because you've only approved of one out of... How many other episodes that I did that for?
Yeah.
You've only approved of one.
It was,
so I'm trying to impress you.
And I remember what it was. It was the shirt. It was the Hulk Hogan colors.
It was mostly yellow, a little bit of red.
I thought you were going to run wild. So anyways, I just wanted to make sure I mentioned that because I know you were called out. We do the Facebook Live thing before we actually record this podcast. Right now it's Sunday the 22nd. So depending on when you're seeing this, we do a Facebook Live Sunday evenings before we record. Had a lot of attendance.
Had a little feedback. Gave some free stuff away.
Giving some stuff away. Congratulations to Jeff Page and Josh Hollier.
Yep.
Okay.
And we're going to give away t-shirts to the 50th and 100th comments. I have to go back and check because we do the Facebook Live, and then we don't lie. We go right into recording the episode. So
yeah.
I'll go back and check, and it'll be money.
Yeah, so here we are.
Be money.
It's always be money. So we're here. We're live right now. Live for us, not live for you because you're watching it late. But we are here at the TH Boxing Facility in Lake Nona / Orlando, Florida. Thanks again for joining us. So Weekend Trav, without any further ado, introduction, Weekend Trav, Brandon Waters, be money. We want to talk about the bout that's been built up now for many months. And
you want to call even many months, many years, because these guys have had phenomenal professional boxing careers.
Yeah, two big names, two big powerhouse names coming together, coming to blows on Saturday. It's sponsored via Triller. It's through pay-per-view, and I'm not sure if we have quite figured out how to actually watch that, but it is pay-per-view. We're talking Iron Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr.
Phenomenal. You know why this is phenomenal? One, Mike Tyson is a global icon. Unless you've been living under a rock, and even if you were living under a rock, I bet you have heard of Mike Tyson. And Roy Jones Jr. I've admitted it before, and I'll admit it again. Roy Jones Jr. was my first professional boxer that I ever fell in love with and started watching. Because during Roy's reign on the middleweight and all the way up to heavyweight division was during the 90s into the early 2000s. And this guy was on TV all the time. This guy was flashy. I just still remember to this day, and I've said it before, but I remember watching ESPN SportsCenter commercials. They've been hilarious. They have. They've done really good over the years. They've fallen off a little bit, but in the past, they were awesome.
Do people still watch ESPN?
Actually,
is it still a TV show?
I technically don't. But Roy Jones, I remember him. This guy won so many titles, so many boxing titles, that he was in the elevator one time trying to give away one of his belts to, I think even maybe Stuart Scott or somebody. He was just like, no, please have it. I want you to have it. I have plenty at home. Yeah, please take it. And it was literally the funniest video ever. And I liked Roy because, one, he won all the time. He was flashy. He did unconventional stuff, and that attracted me. And he was on TV all the time. As a kid, you know, I never really remember of too many other boxers. There was a ton during that time. There was. But Roy captured the video, captured the TV audience, and he was always on TV, and I liked him. So he was my first, honest to God, favorite professional boxer.
It was really when, I mean, at that point, it's kind of when sports, all sorts of different sports were propelling. You had all these guys becoming those figures, the media personalities, but it wasn't all about them necessarily. It's hard to explain, I guess, but you had like basketball, kind of you had like Jordan and all those guys around that kind of 90s, similar time frame. Yeah.
Big time for sports.
Football, I hate to mention it, but like the Cowboys were so good. You had,
that was the team of the 90s.
You had Emmitt. You had Michael Irving, which Troy, I guess he was always about himself. Neon Deion Sanders, he was all over the place. Atlanta with the Cowboys, with the Niners. Yeah. So
played baseball with Atlanta Braves. It was Braves just, were huge in baseball then.
Even tennis. Tennis, you had like Agassi and all those guys. That was
Sampras,
more like early 90s.
Yeah,
Pete Sampras.
Yeah.
So it's when we were excited as...
sports was amazing.
We were growing up, and that's what we were... We had all of that.
Yeah, because we're about the same age, so that was about the same time for both of us.
So it was an interesting time, and so I do remember those commercials. You know, but also, on the other side of the ring, you're talking another icon, Mike Tyson.
Iron Mike Tyson.
For many reasons, right? But just known, pure power, a little off his rocker here and there. And we'll talk about that in a handful of minutes, just kind of giving a little more background about these guys. But for us as not just boxing fans, but sports fans.
Good, a great terminology right there.
This is a big event for everybody. And what a weekend. Thanksgiving weekend. We have all this crazy stuff going on out there. We're wanting to get together with family. Some places they're trying to disallow it, whatever else. But this is what it's about. Coming together as sports fans, families, sports fans. And
it's a sports family. It is a sports family.
I mean, I remember waking up for like Thanksgiving and we watched football all day, right? And there'll still be that. You still have some of that. But looking forward to the Saturday now.
Yeah.
And having that big event.
To be honest, football hasn't been that exciting for me for about a year or so now. So I'm really looking forward to this because, like, people give him a lot of grief because they're like, oh my gosh, Mike Tyson's 54 years old. Roy Jones is 51. But people, it's a new age. Sports medicine has been phenomenal. And what I mean by that is there's a guy, you might not know him, but you should because Roy Jones beat him and also got beat by him, but Bernard Hopkins. Uh-huh. Won a world title at the age of 49 years old. He beat a 28-year-old world champion. So why I'm saying that is because 51 is not that old anymore. 54. Go on your little internet. The only time that I will encourage you to use Google is now. Google Mike Tyson. Google what that guy looks like right now compared to what he looked like 20 years ago. There's not a massive difference. He's taking this fight serious.
There's a side-by-side photo. I think it was on Instagram where it shows him in the training element back then in his 20s and then just recently. And
it's not a lot different.
You can only see the age on his face.
Yeah.
Like, if anything, he looks stronger right now. It's like crazy.
He looks like a brick crap house.
Incredible. And if you don't like Google, you can go to, what is it? Go Duck Go.
No, Duck Duck Go.
Duck Duck Go, yeah. That's an interesting play on that. Anyways. Yeah, to your point, these guys are in their 50s. Sports medicine, diet, everything is so much different now. Training is different now, okay? I am just flabbergasted. That's a good word. Flabbergasted.
Solid word.
When I see these guys in shape in their training regimen right now.
Yeah.
Because you can find it. I mean, obviously in today's social media age, follow anything boxing related, and they're going to start be posting clips and videos of these guys training right now.
It's phenomenal.
In phenomenal shape. They're ready. They are going to be ready on Saturday. They are not going to disappoint.
It's, again, we say that it's considered a, and I'm air quoting here for Spotify people, exhibition. However, it's professional boxing round length. It's 3-minute rounds. they're not wearing headgears, and they're having judges.
Mm-hmm.
So for anybody out there that want to downplay this, these guys are going out there. They're going out to win. This isn't like a normal exhibition. Like I've put on some charity events where we do exhibition fights. We wear headgears and we kind of go out there and play around, give the fans a show. Nobody gets hurt. I want to tell everybody that I think Mike Tyson is going out there to hurt Roy Jones Jr. And I think Roy Jones Jr. is going out there to hurt Mike Tyson. And what I mean by that is these guys are coming out there to compete. All they've done their entire lives is compete. So when they go out there and fight, this is not going to be your typical quote-unquote exhibition. These guys are fighting. And Roy Jones was on Joe Rogan and talked about it. Roy Jones is like, yeah, he's like, this is going to be a fight. He's like, they told me it was an exhibition. He goes, but then when they start laying out everything that's going to happen, he's like, this is a fight. He's like, these are 3-minute rounds, which is professional boxing. It's 8 rounds,
right?
Which is a serious deal. And he's like, there's judges. How many exhibition fights do you know, personally, that they judge? For me, it's 0. It's not an exhibition. Exhibition means there's no judges.
Right.
That's actually the real term for an exhibition. It means they're not going to judge it. It's for the fans, but they're judging it. There's judges. So it's going to be a great fight. I'm personally, I'll buy it, Brandon. Like we are. Sure. We're getting together. We're going over to our friend's house, Brian Price, Price Boxing, what up?
Yep.
We're going over there to watch it, and it's going to be great.
Yep. Like, and so in a few minutes, we'll kind of get into your thoughts, and I want to plug you into the seat of why Jones Jr. will win, and then I want to take on your take on why Tyson wins. I want to see both perspectives, and then we'll talk about your final assessment, though we will put a prediction video up a little bit later this week. So, you know, Tyson, record 50-6.
Phenomenal.
44 knockouts.
Hall of Famer.
Jones Jr., 66-9, 47 knockouts. I mean, this is what we want. This is what we, now, granted, we've talked for many weeks here, for a couple months now. Boxing's been delivering, hands down. Every month, there's been several great fights. Yep. We've talked about them week in, week out. And this is one that's been on our calendar circled for quite some time. Now, it got pushed back when we first started talking about it. It was supposed to be in September.
Yep.
It got pushed to now this coming weekend in November.
Tyson wanted more time to train, and he's done it.
And Roy Jones Jr. wasn't very happy about that. So you
knew.
So if you have not listened to Jones Jr. sitting in with Joe Rogan several weeks ago, he talks about some of those details. But what I want to mention is when Tyson, a few weeks prior to that, was with Joe Rogan on his podcast as well. It's pretty much what you expect. The guy is a different cat. He's different.
Tyson now, is the unexpected.
He flat out says that the gods of war have re-engaged him.
OMG.
Yeah, he's he basically gets off on the idea of hurting people in the ring. I mean, this guy is in tune. He was actually, some of his words, and this is paraphrasing, so I don't want you to take this as direct quotes, paraphrasing this, that he was nearly concerned about getting back into a training because of that switch going off in his head. Because he came off, and you know this, came off of just being out of shape and lazy, and this is many, many months ago. He started getting back into shape. His wife was giving a hard time, like, why don't you just get on the treadmill for 15 minutes?
Yeah.
And he says, surely enough, 15 minutes eventually became like 2 hours. He's on the treadmill. And then when he starts training, it's different. But he's attacking the training a little differently now. But obviously, because of his age, he has to think about these things.
You train smarter, not necessarily harder.
Doing the cryo stuff, doing some of these other therapies. Yeah. And also keep in mind, it's an exhibition. These guys can kind of do whatever they want.
It's true.
I mean, who's telling them not to?
I don't think there's any steroid testing either.
Probably not. And you know what?
Any of that.
I'm not
saying they are.
Yeah, not accusing either one of them, but there might be some human growth hormone stuff going on.
54, 51, like possibly.
Yeah, but do yourself a favor. If you are on, I don't know, Instagram or anything like that, just look up some content, Tyson, and you're going to see both of these guys. And your eyes are going to widen like, holy moly.
You're going to look at 50-year-olds in a different way.
Yeah.
You look at these two. And like literally, some of the older people some of the people that I have talked to just in random, in passing, people that I don't necessarily know very good, but I've met up with them like at the golf course or wherever else. They're like, oh my gosh, Jones is fighting Mike Tyson. Like, what are these guys doing? And I'm like, well, it's actually going to be pretty entertaining. So if you're bored and you got the pay-per-view price tag is $49.99, that's actually not a bad price for pay-per-view. And not to mention that, it's a full card. And Brandon, do you know who is on the undercard of that?
Oh, I do know.
Do you know who the co-main event is?
I do know. Do we need to say?
I think we should probably talk about that.
Two-time
Travis Hartman is going to.
Two-time slam dunk champion of the NBA, Nate Robinson, which he stole one of those away from Dwight Howard when Dwight Howard was with the Orlando Magic, my opinion.
Fair.
Not that I really care too much.
But I mean, Nate's really tiny and small, so he got a little bit of love for that.
Yeah, and who is he?
Jump.
Who is he fighting?
Jake Paul.
Does he know that he can't?
Famous YouTuber.
Does Nate Robinson know that you can't really be jumping while you're boxing?
Yeah, I'm not sure if anybody's informed him that he cannot dunk to win this.
Yeah.
Because that's an illegal move.
I hope he tries to jump over Jake Paul.
He could.
Yeah.
How funny would that be?
Oh, yeah. Let's say
the first round, the bell rings, he runs at Jake Paul, and Jake Paul's like, and freezes up, and then he literally jumps over Jake Paul.
To be fair.
Is that possible?
It is possible. I think so. Leapfrog him.
That's funny.
Now, I know those two fights. I'll be honest with you. I don't know what else is on this card. I'm
not much else.
Probably not. I feel like there's still a circus component to this
There's a very entertainment value.
Entertainment value is...
We have a YouTuber, Jake Paul, fighting a former NBA player.
Yeah, which is great. Jake Paul's had a couple of fights. They're all exhibition stuff. That's
not
fine.
Not terrible. This is also exhibitions.
He looks a lot better. Some of the training stuff I've seen of him as of late, he looks a lot better. So I haven't seen anything of Nate Robinson.
I've seen a couple small things.
Okay.
Yeah, there's some small videos of him. But for the most part. But, I mean, when you're a YouTube star, you know how to tackle social media.
Yeah.
You know how to tackle the mainstream. And when I say mainstream now, mainstream is different than it used to be. Mainstream now is YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, all of those things. And they're not censoring these guys. So you get to see everything.
Sure, because it's not political, so they don't censor them. Yeah.
So the cool part about all this is, guys, while Jake Paul is a YouTuber... Famous YouTuber. I think he's got over 20 million followers on YouTube, has millions of views, whatever else. The guy sells for sure. He knows how to sell. But he has brought on somebody to his team that has really legitimized his boxing skill. And it's somebody who, weighing in with Travis Hartman's podcast, he's going to catapult our podcast.
Yeah, so I think we're going to talk. We'll talk about that after the break, which we still have some time left to go. But we do want to say that it looks like we have someone from the Jake Paul camp that's going to be a guest of the show. And we'll talk about that, and we'll have that be done before the actual fight. So anyway, stay tuned to that. We'll give more detail after the break. But pretty excited about that. It's
super
very,
excited.
Very legitimate.
Our first guest.
Very legitimate, too.
And like, which extremely.
Brings a ton of legitimacy to Jake Paul himself.
He's taking it serious.
Taking it very seriously, and he should, because this is going to be, I think, if you look at the full year of boxing, probably the most watched event of
which
the year.
Which is crazy, because like you said earlier, you brought it up earlier, like boxing has more than delivered.
Yeah.
I would say the last half of this, the last 6 months of 2020, is phenomenal. You cannot tell me that. Even the haters, I haven't heard that many haters, Brandon, because 100% boxing has more than delivered. We've had so much great talent, so much young talent, so much current talent, so much people that have, not only that, sometimes the very, very talented fighters, when they fight each other, it doesn't end up being very exciting.
Right.
But these fights have all been exciting. And we still have blockbuster fights right around the corner. We have a couple more weekends where it's going to be literally phenomenal. Actually, more than a couple weekends. We got about another month because Canelo is also fighting mid-December as well.
Yeah, so we have December 5th. December 5th, Errol Spence, Danny Garcia, and then
the 19th is a Saturday.
So, and that'll be Canelo Alvarez, and he's fighting?
Callum Smith.
That's right.
Guys, we got this weekend, which will be Saturday. Mm-hmm. Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr., undercard, co-main event, Jake Paul, Nate Robinson. Then December 5th, we have Errol Spence, first fight back from a massive car wreck where people thought he was going to die, fighting Danny Garcia, who is a multi-world champion. The dude is legit. He's fought the who's who of the welterweight division. Those two are fighting December 5th. And then another couple weeks later, Canelo Alvarez, who... On my pound-for-pound list, I have Terrence Crawford number one, Canelo Alvarez number two. He's fighting. So when you have the pound-for-pound number two guy in the world fighting, and don't get me wrong, some people have Canelo at number one, And if you look at his resume, he easily could be. I have Terrence Crawford there,
yep.
and a lot of people do as well. But we have these people ending the year. Brandon, a lot, you know, I got to put this out there because I was just talking to a guy, Rashad Galloway, on Instagram. Good dude, former professional boxer, trains a bunch of people now. Phenomenal guy. I think he was in Pacquiao's camp a couple of, and we were talking back and forth about 2020. Literally, this just happened today on Instagram. We were talking back and forth, and I was like, man, he's like, it's been a rough year. He's been tough for a lot of people. I was like, you know what? I was like, it has been really a rough year, man. I was like, but to be 100% honest, low key, this has probably been one of the best years of my life. Career-wise, everything, it's been one of the best years of my life. And he goes, I didn't want to say anything, Travis. He's like, but me too, man. He goes, low key, he goes, it really has been. He's like, it's hard to celebrate it when the whole country and the whole world is kind of struggling. So I don't try to like celebrate that. But inside, I'm like, this has actually been a really great year, Brandon.
See, this is the thing. So this is kind of a tangent subject, which is fine. Yeah, I would say this has been probably one of my better years as well. And I obviously, I know some people are going through tough times. But when you, when you're in that position, and to you and that that gentleman, what you're saying, that brings and it keeps you all humble. So it's not a pat yourself on the back, this year's awesome. You see so much, for several years, you could just flip on any social media thing and it's just, it kind of roll your eyes. It's like people celebrating themselves. And first of all, you don't know if it's real or not, but they're celebrating themselves.
Social media.
You know what? Today's day and age, you know, guys like you, him, myself, whoever else that's having a fantastic year or not, you look at things and your perspective is different. And you look at whether it's business, family, socially, whatever it is. And if you're excelling, 2020 has kept us very, very humble.
Yep. Yep.
And I think that is huge, and it's a huge lesson going forward into 2021, 2022, et cetera, et cetera, to keep that mentality of stay humble, keep grinding, keep working.
Yep.
Keep working and just bless those around you.
Yep.
It's not all about just blessing yourself. Bless your family, your friends, your neighborhood, whatever it is, yep. everyone that's around you. But stay humble. Stay humble and committed.
You know what? You're so right, too. And the thing about it is there's this phrase that everybody always says that I like to think about it quite a bit. It's like people always think that you're not allowed to be sad because somebody has it worse than you. Like, everybody has their own struggles, for sure.
Sure.
But it's that same token, though. It's like you're not allowed to be happy because somebody else could be happier than you. So, like, it works both ways. So what I mean by that is, you can still be happy for individual success. And the reason I'm happy, Brandon, is because I feel like I've helped more people this year than I've ever helped. So that's why. And the same thing with Rashad. We were talking, and he was like, he's in a similar field as me. Mm-hmm. He's personal training and helping people. And he's like, Travis, he's like, I've seen myself mentally and physically helping more people this entire year than I ever helped in my life. And I was just like, dude, same. Like, I think personal, private training right now has exploded because, and I don't agree with this, by the way, because the government has shut down public gyms. To me, blows my mind, though. Well,
yes.
Everywhere did at first, though.
At first, yeah. A lot of stuff.
But
sure.
Some places like the great state of Florida that we live in, DeSantos, you know what? I love you, dude. You're doing amazing.
Mm-hmm.
He really is. We have the third largest population in the United States, but per 100,000 people, we have I think we're 14th in COVID deaths. We're number 3 in COVID positive tests, but yet we're 14 in deaths. We're doing something good over everybody else. We're literally the third largest population. So of course we're going to have a lot more people pass away from
COVID-related
COVID-related because we have more people, but per 100,000 people, we're less than top 15.
Yeah.
So, DeSantos, you're doing a great job.
Yeah.
And why I say that is because when everybody shut down, they considered some essential businesses. And to the government, quote unquote, their essential businesses, McDonald's mm-hmm. was allowed to stay open.
Mm-hmm.
But your local gym shut down.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why my business went through the roof, because people need exercise.
Yeah.
We all need, it's not a want, it's a need. It's part of your life. You need to exercise to be healthy, to naturally build your immune system. And that's what's kind of upset me a little bit about the government is they're only talking about vaccines, they're talking about pharmaceuticals, they're talking about injecting all this stuff into your body to fight COVID, and nobody's really talking about building your immune system naturally, eating better, exercising more.
And mental health.
And when you exercise, and that's 100% correct, when you exercise, you release happy endorphins, correct, they're called, in your body, which helps you mentally as well as physically. And what we do as a personal trainer, I don't just physically help you. It's a mental release. It's therapeutic. And when you shut down gyms, these people lose their release, and they need that. Gyms are needed. Gyms, of all things, should have been essential. And I get it. Gyms are, when you pack a gym full of like dirty, disgusting people touching machines, not only COVID, anything. It can be dirty and disgusting. Let's implement some better rules, maybe. Yeah. But let's keep gyms open because we need them. And there's a guy, I believe, in New Jersey. I forget his full name. It's Ian something from New Jersey. And he refused to close his gym. Yep. And they fined him like $14,000 a day.
Yep.
And as of right now, before this episode aired, he had had zero. He kept it open, and people were coming still. He's had zero COVID-related deaths because of his gym, and he's helping people. He's helping keep people alive. This guy is phenomenal, and nobody is forcing you to go to a gym. You're choosing to go there because you know that building your immune system naturally will help you fight off viruses, bacteria, all that. It's not 100%. I'm not saying that, because there's healthy people that have got COVID and passed away.
Sure.
It's actually happened, but it's on the lower percentage.
Yeah, it's an outlier, for sure. So I think what will end up happening is that unfortunately, we're in a situation where history tends to change over time. So I think when we look back at this a handful of years from now, it really depends on who's writing the story as to how we look back at the time we're currently in. We might look back and be like, what were we thinking? We're nuts. Toilet paper selling out and stuff. They might look at us like we're crazy.
I just went to Costco.
Yeah.
They're out of toilet paper.
Oh, yeah, no. Once again, so another tangent topic. I think this toilet paper thing, so we're in the second round of it going off the shelves. I think what ends up happening is this. Guys like you and me, we're like, ah, crap. People are like buying toilet paper
literally
again.
Crap.
Well, we say that, we're like, oh, man, okay, so if I'm there, I'm just going to pick up a pack.
Yep.
That's what happens. And that's
a domino effect.
And that's why it goes so quickly.
It is.
Do I think that we need toilet paper so badly because of the coronavirus? No, but if I look at it, I'm like, well, poop.
I will eventually need it.
I'm going to think, well, poop, I'm going to have to poop.
Yeah.
So if there's a pack there, I'm just going to get it. You know, I just actually the
now
other.
Now they're limiting you to how many you can buy.
Yeah, but they kind of done that already.
They have.
So
this year.
So the other day, truth be told, I was at a Publix, one of our grocery stores here, and I was just getting something else, and I went down that aisle. I'm like, well, they got some. Might as well just pick up a pack. I had toilet paper at home, but I'm just thinking ahead, like.
It's so that domino effect.
So I think when we. So to kind of round up COVID, it's like, depending on when the revisionist history kind of sets in, we're going to look back at this time frame like either we were nuts to react this way, or maybe we did it the right way, or we didn't do enough. I don't know. No. But every state has done it differently, and as Floridians, you're half Floridian, I get it.
I am. I'm a Florida. Well, like most people from Florida,
in your blood,
are transplants.
You're not Florida blood.
I'm Midwestern.
I'm not Florida blood either. I'm California blood, but.
You did the smartest thing you could ever.
Well, I moved here when I was six, so it's not like I knew anything.
Man. Don't California my
Florida.
Hey,
that's where Ronald Reagan came from.
That's fair.
Okay?
That's fair.
So anyways.
Hey, don't California my Florida.
Oh, that's the thing. Hey, hey, gang. And this is why we get shadow banned. This is why, like, yep, no, YouTube here punishes
goes.
Us.
Here it goes.
If you're moving out of a state that's locking you in your house for Thanksgiving or telling you you can't do this and that, and you're looking at states like Florida like, oh, my gosh, they're doing pretty good, and they're open. Restaurants are 100% capacity right now. Okay? Now, this isn't us saying, don't be nuts and get out of your house. No, if you're not comfortable, stay home. That's fine.
It's your right. It's your choice.
Yeah. No one should tell you have to stay home. No one should tell you have to have six people at Thanksgiving. No one should tell you have 2 hours to have Thanksgiving with your loved ones.
You're telling me that we're in a day and age right now that the government in each state, there's certain states, I don't want to mention names, that say that you cannot have more than six people in your household for Thanksgiving. Can you not tell me how that is, how wrong is that? And listen, Brandon, when did COVID came around the beginning of the year, right? We have enough data. Towards the beginning of the year. We have enough data now.
It was probably around
before that. Know that this virus is nowhere near as deadly as we once thought. Is it deadly? Yes. But it's not. They were projecting 2 million deaths.
It spreads. It spreads for sure.
Yeah. It does. They were projecting 2 million deaths, though. We're at 250,000 around that range right now. So they were projecting 2 million deaths. Mm-hmm. Okay. We're not even close to that. So I can see if this was like killing off every single person. You walk outside, you get it, you die. But you don't. It literally has a 99% overall survival rating.
And once again, to your earlier point, there are outliers. There's healthy people that have died. Completely get
there it. There is. That's in the lower, less
but it's
than
a,
1%.
It's a weird thing. I mean, let's be honest, though. And I don't want to say it's the flu because it's not. But people, some healthy people, when they get the flu, they die. Something happens. Pneumonia, whatever else. They die.
Everybody wants to, like, go to my Facebook, and they kill me. But people don't realize. I literally, today, I went to lunch with a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
Not kidding. I was talking to him about all this stuff again,
mm-hmm.
and I'm just like getting his point of view for everything. He's a traveling doctor. He's been going. He lives here in Lake Nona. He went to Texas. Yep. Works in the ER. And I was like, hey, be honest with me. I was like, how was the ER? He goes, I saw about 3 or 4 COVID patients down there. I was like, were you guys overran? What was going on? He's like, no, not at all. He's like, I seen kids. I seen some kids with it.
Well, because the problem is, Travis, is that when you hear the news reports of some hospitals' numbers going up or almost feeling overrun, it's like one hospital.
We have 350 million people here, and they want to highlight a couple hospitals that are overran. But what I said to this, when we talked to this doctor, and this doc, he brought it up himself.
Yeah.
He goes, Travis, he goes, because I brought up that there's a new study. The CDC released this study,
mm-hmm.
and it all depends on how you interpret things, but I get that. But only 6%, this is CDC released data, only 6% of the 250,000 people that have passed away from COVID only.
Purely, yeah.
Okay? I did the math. It's like 15,000 deaths.
Yeah.
Okay? And I looked at him, and I was just like, so how many people die from the flu? He's like, quite a bit. And I was like, I understand that when you have the underlying issues, and if you get COVID, it kind of is like the nail in the coffin. It is.
Yeah.
So COVID did kind of it didn't cause it, but it helped kill you. It did two or three people.
But the flu does the same thing.
And that's what he said. He goes, Travis, he goes, listen to me. He goes, the same people that have the 2 to 3 underlying issues, he goes, if they got the flu, it's going to be a similar effect.
Yeah.
He goes, so the fact that we are over-hyping this, he's like, I don't agree with.
Yeah.
He goes, because, literally, Travis, he goes, I'm not kidding. He goes, yes, the people with the 2 to 3 underlying issues, COVID helped kill them. He did. If they didn't get COVID, they wouldn't have died so soon. He goes, but if they would have got the flu, they easily could have and probably would have passed away.
Well, so it's like when you see some of the dies of heart disease. You can say they died from heart disease, or you can go back another step and say, well, why'd they get the heart disease? Was it because they smoked? Was it because they ate horribly? Yep. Well, then they died because they ate horribly, or they died because they were a smoker, but then they also died because they had heart disease. Yep. Pick what it is. Pick what it is. But the point, we should not, as Americans, or even in the world, right?
Yeah,
we
should, this is a global, forget that.
Pandemic. We should not be in a situation where someone dictates what you do in your own personal time in your house.
My house. They're telling me what I can and can't do.
Now, this isn't every blue. It's not every blue state, so I don't want to make everyone think it's only Democrats. It's only blue states. No, but there's predominant blue states, and this is what they're doing.
California, New York.
Yeah, and Chicago, Illinois, I should say. I mean, there's
Oregon.
Yeah, all those states. The rules are nuts, but I think the reason why we're talking about this is if you are fleeing those states, consider why you're fleeing those states when you come to a beautiful state like Florida and it comes down to voting time again.
Yep, please.
Don't bring that voting record down here and expect it to be different if you vote the same way.
Yep.
Think, people, think. If you want, if you're coming down to Florida and be like, well, I want to be able to go shopping and I want to be able to have my friends over and not be worried. We wear a mask when we go out. Fine, whatever. But
and we do it. And that's the thing, Florida. We have mask mandates still.
But
we do that.
But my point is, consider the people in charge that are dictating to you how you're supposed to live your life in your house and whatever else in these other states, and don't vote for those kind of people in Florida and Texas and the other red states you move to. I think I want to move past politics because it really makes me upset the way we're looking at things. Coronavirus is a serious deal.
100%.
But we got to live with it.
It's real.
We got to live with it. It's not being eradicated. Quit listening to politicians saying we're going to get rid of it. No, it's going to be around.
How many viruses have you ever heard of in your entire life that have been eradicated by a pharmaceutical or anybody?
Hey, gang.
Or a vaccine.
Hey, gang, listen up. The measles and mumps are still around. All those like random stuff that would kill sailors and things back 100 years ago, that's still around. We just have vaccines for them now, okay? That's why you don't hear much about it.
And it doesn't, but they're still around.
They're still around is my point.
Vaccine does not kill it.
This is going to be another thing that's around, and it's going to adapt like the flu does. So vaccines are always going to have to adapt, and you're going to have to choose whether or not you get it.
But guess what? I'm going to tell you right now, as a personal trainer and a person that says have a healthy lifestyle.
Yes.
It will not. I'm not saying you're going to be immune to dying from anything, because you still can. Viruses affect everybody differently. We're all a big walking chemical. So chemicals react differently to other chemicals and viruses. So what I'm saying is, if you're going to do a risk reward evaluation of your life, okay, then the reward that you should do is exercise, eat healthy, be healthier overall. Are the risks still going to be there? Yes, but they're going to be more limited. You are going to put yourself in more of a position to succeed and to live.
Yeah. And so
we're talking about life and death right now. Be healthy.
And so while the risks are still there, your outlook at those risks when you're looking at your life, it's going to be different.
100%.
We are huge advocates here. You have your training business. You're a boxer. You train boxers as well. Not just, you know, everyday people. You train professionals, so your outlook on physical fitness is a little bit more in tune with it. Yep. Myself as well. I coach youth sports mainly. I do my own thing too.
You work out as well.
But I have been in this sort of physical game for a long time as well.
Yep.
And it is such a huge thing that too many people in our country are not involved with. It doesn't take much. If you're looking at something and you're like, I don't even know where to start, just start getting up and walking. Just start getting up every day.
Literally that easy.
Just get out of the house, go walk for however long it takes, and build up. There's a
walk
program.
Walk every day, doesn't matter.
Well, there's a program, because I used to be a runner. I still am, I guess. You know, doing 5Ks, 10Ks, marathons, whatever. I used to do all that stuff. And there's a very famous program. It's the Couch to 5K plan. It's getting people off the couch and building them up to actually finishing a 5K. And that doesn't mean run the thing or sprint the thing. I think too many people they're thrown off by...
They overthink it.
They're thrown off by racist thinking, oh my gosh, they think people sprint this stuff. No, there's a variety of people that go and do these things. Overweight, you know, ripped and shredded, a variety. But the whole point is that you go out there, you accomplish it, you finish it, and you're instantly connected to everyone else that just finished that thing or participated in that thing.
That camaraderie.
And it's a different thing. And then all of a sudden it feeds on itself. Then you're like, wow, I'm going to do this again. And I'm going to do it again and do it again. And it just, something happens. Something internally changes. And then same thing with even diets and whatever else. You can find a community online, whether it's on YouTube or whatever, Facebook groups, things like that.
Find a podcast or a blog or whatever. You'll find it.
I mean, we've done different stuff. You know, we can talk about this to death, but I actually want to get back to our primary topic at hand, which was Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr., right? So I think when we get back from break, what we're going to do, I want to attack this fight from your opinion as whatever hat you want to put on, fighter, promoter, whatever. Why Jones Jr. wins, and then we're going to talk about why Tyson wins.
Okay?
And then you just give the overall assessment. We'll talk about it. And then, you know, obviously we want to lead into what will be the guest.
Future episode.
Right? And I don't even think episode. I think what we're going to do is that we're going to...
be his own guest, yeah.
We're going to put it on the page as a standalone and go from there. We just, we like adding content to our YouTube page. I know if you're listening on Spotify, I might do something there to get it on Spotify. But we have content out there. We have predictions for fights. We have just other random stuff. We do, obviously, our podcast every week. There's a lot of good content on there. If you are not subscribing, just click the button. What harm is that? You just click the button?
Zero harm.
And then when you go on YouTube and you're looking at cat videos and other stuff, our video might show up in your feed too, and you just click on that. It's kind of cool.
Brandon's cute bearded face that is slowly growing back.
It is. Look at
comes
that.
Comes in. Look at this guy.
It's been 22 days, and it's you know,
amazing.
I'm getting
it's
there.
Amazing.
I'm getting there. Thank you. You're amazing
better man,
too.
You're a better man than me for.
Well,
Brandon shaved his beard at the beginning of November for Men's Health.
Yes. Yeah.
I backed out of it because I'm a pansy.
Yeah.
I will admit that.
Yeah.
And Brandon did not. So God bless. Hallelujah. It's already coming back. And I probably would be close to where he's at right now, too, but I wussed out.
Well, thank you for the love there. Well, anyways.
I got to keep it real. We keep it real here.
We always keep it real. We keep it real. We have our opinions, and that's probably why we get shadow banned a little bit.
If I fail miserably, but I'll admit it. Mm. I failed that one. I failed that one.
But then, if you actually admit your failure, is it a failure at all?
That's so deep.
Or are you learning? So, with that, let's go ahead and take a...
We fail. We learn.
We learn. We learn through trials and tribulations. So we're going to take a short pause here. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about the bourbon we're drinking. We're going to talk about the big fight this weekend again, give more an analytical assessment on that. And then we're all going to also talk about our guest coming up this week, which is tied to this pay-per-view. You don't want to miss it. Thank you so much. If you have not yet subscribed or followed, please do below. You can even hit that bell icon and you'll get a notification of it. Why not? Cat videos are fun. I get it. Trick shot videos are fun. I get it. I watch that stuff too with my kids.
Weighing in with Travis Hartman is fun.
Exactly.
We give away free stuff.
Exactly.
Listen to us.
Exactly. So you should be watching and subscribing. And that is it.
Amen. God bless. Hallelujah.
We'll be back in a few moments. Yeah.
But it sucks to be you.
Well, sometimes, and other times it doesn't. Like tonight, it's awesome to be me.
I agree.
So, we are back, and I wanted to highlight what we're drinking tonight. As we do every week, we do drink bourbon, boxing, and beards. I think we came up with that the other week.
Don't say we. I'm not taking credit. You definitely came up with that. That is your
this gold star. This is a we show, so we share. We share that. We are family. So we are drinking. It's a TX blended whiskey. So I don't know if it's a pure bourbon or not, which is fine. And it's from Firestone and Robertson out of Fort Worth, Texas. Weekend Trav picked this up. TX blended whiskey. Let me see here. I'll go.
That was in honor of my pops, who is from Texas, born and raised.
And what we've been doing recently is giving it a boxing glove rating from 0 to 10. But let's talk about it a little bit. So when we first poured it, the first couple pours I had, I was like, wow, this is really good. I like it. It was there was a kind of like a caramely note to it.
Oh, wow.
You like that?
You're so professional.
But
right
did
now.
You catch that, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's
a little sweetness. Like a not a lot. No, it wasn't overwhelming by
right.
no means. It was a very like... It was a hint
yeah.
of it.
And so I really liked it. It does have a good scent. I mean, it tells you some things on the bottle. It does have a good scent. And I'm enjoying this. You know, obviously we haven't drank like a whole bottle yet, but we're enjoying it. So we're not chugging it or anything like that. So TX blended whiskey out of Fort Worth, Texas. That's Firestone and Robertson. Price point, what would you say? It was a little bit above average?
Yeah, I think it was like 45.
Okay. So same with almost anything. The more you spend, chances are it should taste a little bit better to the palate. But you can find some very good stuff on a cheap basis, too. And we've highlighted some of those in other weeks. So, I don't know. Let's give the ranking. We were doing the 0 to 10 boxing gloves. What would you give this there, Weekend Trav?
I'm going to go pretty good here. I'm going to go 8.5.
Wow.
Okay. Because it was a good... So, I said it at the beginning. I said it's a very kind of a... It was a little strong at first.
Mm-hmm.
But it's smooth going down. Like, strong on the taste buds. And then when I swallowed, it didn't have that, like, real strong, like, taste. You're such a PG-13 guy right now.
What? I just smiled.
But it did strong taste at first, but it was very smooth
yeah.
sailing.
Yeah.
I'm giving it a strong 8.5, which means this is one that I would actually... I'm going to keep in my liquor cabinet. I would keep this one.
We still have some in your liquor cabinet.
We have a lot of leftovers because you forced it on me.
Well, you know. So I'm giving it a 7.8, which is a very strong score.
Very strong.
So what we do here, we average the two, 8.5, 7.8. If my rough math is right, that's an 8.15.
Ooh, solid.
Which is a solid number. That's probably the highest we've done so far. Now, we only started ranking them a couple of weeks ago, sure. So we haven't gone back. I think we had a few others that we really enjoyed. But this one is really, really strong. So, I mean, you look at the label, and it looks almost like a novelty. TX, mm-hmm. Texas. Like it's. But
I
it's,
wasn't impressed with the presentation of it. I wasn't.
Good. Well, it has this little canvas thing around the neck.
Yeah.
So it's very nice. So we're giving this 8.15 boxing gloves out of 10 for your whiskey pleasures. We enjoyed it. And that is the bourbon boxing and beards. You have a beer too.
I do have a beer too.
That's true.
That just
so
happened.
Anyways, that is the whiskey selection for the night. Very good. So I'm enjoying it. We'll continue enjoying it as we talk. We alluded to some things we can Trav before break. We were talking obviously about the pay-per-view via Triller. Obviously Mike Tyson and Roy Jones Jr. We mentioned Nate Robinson and Jake Paul. So what we want to do is discuss our guest that we're going to have on the show, and we're going to record it. It's going to be more of a standalone, so we'll have the video as well as audio of that, but that's coming here. It's going to be technically our first actual guest. We have a couple others.
21 episodes.
Yeah, we have a couple others lined up we're pretty excited about too, but this is our first, and we think it's timely. You know, this fight is this weekend, and we're talking specifically the co-main event, Nate Robinson versus Jake Paul, YouTube icon. So we can travel. Give us a little insight as to who our guest is and then name drop it. And we will kind of expand the discussion from there.
So our guest is former professional boxer with almost 40 professional boxing matches, I believe. I forget his record at the top of my head, but BJ Flores, top amateur. Huge. I think he was a world title challenger as a pro as well. Has a phenomenal professional boxing record. And BJ Flores has been hired on to train Jake Paul, YouTube sensation. But I can't wait to pick BJ's brain about this because there's a lot of old school boxing guys that are just really turned off by this whole quote unquote YouTube movement. But Jake Paul can fight. Like, you can see a progression from the time that he started working with BJ to right now. You can see a progression, period. And I wouldn't say it if I didn't see it. I can see it. Jake Paul is not bad. And this is an exhibition. He's not a professional right now. This is an exhibition. So I'm happy with Jake Paul's progress. I'm happy with what BJ is doing. I think BJ, in my honest opinion, I think BJ will one day train a world champion professional boxer. And that's my opinion. And I genuinely believe that. BJ Flores, he's a smart, intelligent boxer, for one. The guy also can articulate his experience, his knowledge to other people. And it's clearly showing right now. Because if you Google Jake Paul, you're going to find, or if you DuckDuckGo Jake Paul, you will find attached to him BJ Flores because BJ's been training him. He's in all the videos. BJ's his mid guy. BJ's his head training guy. BJ does all of that stuff. BJ is responsible for molding Jake Paul for what he is right now. So whatever happens, you can either think or give credit for losing to BJ Flores because BJ Flores has been right there every single step of the way with Jake Paul. So I can't wait to have BJ on our show because Jake Paul is the co-main event for Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr., and BJ is right there. BJ's doing all of the media with all of those guys. BJ's doing all of the one-on-ones, all of that stuff. So I can't wait to hear BJ's take because, of course, you know I'm going to ask BJ who he thinks is going to win between Roy Jones and Mike Tyson. So BJ's going to be able to give us a lot of insight on that too. And right now, I believe BJ's out in California and Vegas back and forth to training Jake Paul. So dude, this is a blockbuster guest, and guess what? He's going to be our first guest ever for Weighing In with Travis Hartman. So I'm pretty excited about that because BJ's big time. BJ is also a broadcaster for the PBC series on NBC and CBS. BJ is also broadcasted for the Olympics as well. This dude, like, he's got his stuff together. BJ knows what he's doing. But might I add where he's from? The reason why I actually know BJ is because BJ's from Springfield, Missouri, and he's a Midwesterner. I actually fought on the same National Golden Gloves boxing team from Missouri with BJ. Me and BJ were on the same National Golden Gloves boxing team, so that's how I know BJ. I've known BJ pretty much my whole life, all the way through amateurs, all the way to now. So that's why, like, I'm more excited to have BJ on the show because he's got my Midwestern ties.
Sure,
to
him. Sure.
And you know, like, anybody that knows me, I'm always talking about the Midwest. I'm always talking about how great the Midwest is. We do produce a lot of great people, and BJ is one of them as well. So I can't wait to have him on the show, Brandon.
We're looking forward to it. I mean, we are so appreciative of the time that he's going to give us because this is a busy week for him. We get it.
Crazy busy.
Lots of media stuff going on. You know, obviously the training. We can't get rid of the training. I know it's go-home week for them, but still, lots of media stuff to do, and he's carving out some time to share with us, with Wayne and with Travis Hartman, our show here. So we will, once we have that interview wrapped, we will have that up on YouTube. We'll have the audio on Spotify. And we are so appreciative to BJ for sharing a couple moments with us this week. And we're looking forward to it. It's the start of a lot of good stuff here. And we're going to have a couple other guests that we are already lined up. We're just trying to get the dates pinned down with them. And so it's exciting times here. We enjoy it.
I just want to give the listeners just a kind of a little bit of notice on how big this is.
Yeah.
BJ Flores trains Jake Paul, right?
Yeah.
Jake Paul has 20.2 million YouTube followers.
Yeah.
Okay. We're bringing this up because this is the time we're in now. Like, this is the thing. This is the thing. He also has 13.6 million Instagram followers. This guy has almost 40 million followers on two social media platforms. That's not counting Facebook. That's not counting Twitter. That's not counting Triller. That's not counting anything else. So BJ is responsible for training this guy.
And here's what I think, too. When you look at a Jake Paul, so how many of these kind of exhibitions fights has he done? He's done a couple others prior.
I think only one or two, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So I think initially, just kind of did it. You know how they used to do like celebrity boxing? Like that was a thing. I think it was on Fox or something like that.
Yep.
I think maybe he did that initially just to get some of those hits, those views, whatever else.
Yep.
But he is taking it seriously now. Having BJ Flores in the camp and really running that show, the bug bit him.
Yep.
And he now sees I think he wants a breakaway. And I don't know this because I don't know anything specifically about Jake Paul. Other than the fact that I think he sees this divergence in the road between his brother and him and wanting to do something the different way. And if he has this and works his way up, who knows? Maybe he becomes professional. Maybe he's never a world champion by any means, but to just go down the fight road and surround himself with these kind of people, these important people, not just trainers and guys out of a random boxing gym that think they know what they're doing, but a BJ Flores who has been through the ropes. He's done everything.
Yep.
And now seen his progression. That's not coincidental. Not coincidental at all. So we are more than excited and happy to have BJ Flores on our show. We were trying to get the dates right and the times right. It just wasn't working today. He flat out said, guys, this is Sunday is my day off. I need it.
Yeah.
Especially right now.
You know what? I get it. Sunday's God's day too. Like, come on now.
Yeah. We're just drinking sacrament here on Sunday nights. But anyway, so that's BJ Flores. We're having him on the show. You need to be following and subscribing to our YouTube channel and following our Spotify and everywhere else. That's how you're going to get this content from us.
It's going to be phenomenal.
It's going to be great. And this is the start of some pretty big things here, weighing in with Travis Hartman.
And who knows if Jake Paul just drops in on this interview.
What will we do? I don't know.
I'm just saying, like, I don't know. Maybe it happens. Maybe it doesn't.
Maybe if he gave a shout-out to TH Boxing. Maybe if he gave a shout-out to Wayne
In. I'm just saying, Weekend Trav and B-Money, we have a lot of stuff up our sleeve. Don't count us out. Look at this sleeve.
That's all I got up my sleeve.
I don't got much on this end, but whatever. I'll take it.
This is the low-carb diet.
I feel like we're a team, so like I can take some credit.
Yeah.
Not credit, but I can take some appreciation and as a team effort that you have big muscles.
Well, I said it's a wee thing.
I didn't join them. You did. You said that earlier, so like, you know.
This is all camera angle here.
It's yours.
It's all camera angle.
Mine is mine.
Keep in mind, I'm on the low-carb thing now, so I just transitioned away from carnivore into full keto this weekend. So I'm allowed some carbs. I have a 31-gram carb load each day I'm allowed to get up to, but I don't really hit that.
I couldn't do it.
It's hard. Well, it's not hard. Carbs. It just takes it with everything. It takes planning and prep.
It's discipline.
It's discipline.
It's discipline. It takes a lot of discipline, and you have a lot of discipline.
So during,
because you have a lot of discipline, because one, you put up with me on weighing and Travis Hartman, so your discipline is through the roof.
You have no
People
idea.
People don't realize.
You have no idea.
I do personally know that I'm very thankful for this man. I'm very thankful for his producer capabilities. I'm very thankful for B-Money in general. By the way, if you need a financial advisor.
That's what I do.
Shamelessly, but whatever.
I don't like to promote myself on the show for those purposes, but I'm available.
Will.
But we can travel. Yeah, just like I promote TH Boxing, you guys should contact the best trainer this side of the Mississippi.
Boom. What up?
So, where were we?
I don't have any slots available, but go ahead and contact anyway.
Anyways, we were talking. I was just saying briefly, I'm on the keto kick. We'll see how it goes. It's all prep, discipline, things along those lines. During carnivore for a month, I was good. I didn't break. I mean, I had like one or two things here or there, but not a full meal or a day. I just stuck to it, and it worked. Mentally, I was focused. Energy-wise, I was pretty much plateaued all day long. Obviously, weight loss, eating only meat. It was crazy.
You, Brandon.
Meat, butter, eggs.
Pretty much disappearing to me right now.
So I went down. I think I've hit my plateau weight loss, other than what I can
Which
do in the gym.
How much?
17 pounds down.
Jeez Louise.
So at 189 right now, I started about 206. So I'm at 189. The rest, I think, has to be more gym-oriented. I got to really push it on the running and stuff like that besides lifting.
That's why you plateau, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, 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 which is fine. I'm okay with that. But now I'm able to – I'm just more excited that I'm not just only tasting meat and salt and butter. Like, I can – like, some veggies and kale and things I can have. But still, there's carbs in that. You have to –
I'm a kale fan.
You have to measure it because it's carbs. But anyways, so I'm on that.
I don't measure my food.
Well, no, I don't either.
I measure by how many bites it takes for me to swallow it.
Well, it's kind of crazy. Like, with this whole thing, I'm also not as hungry. So when I eat, like in the past, I would like eat and I'm like, yeah, man, I'll just keep eating.
Yeah, yeah,
I'm not, I'm like, now I'll have like a little thing and I'm actually okay. And that sustains me. So I don't know. Always listen to your body. As you get older, things change, I guess. But always listen to your body. Do what's right. If your body is starving for something or you can tell you probably need to feed it appropriately. Anyways, this isn't about me, but going back to...
It is currently. So.
Now it is, but I want to get away from that. So once again, BJ Flores, that's going to be guest number one.
Blockbuster first guest.
Very thankful. We're very happy to have that, and we are very blessed. So with that, BJ Flores obviously is in the corner for Jake Paul, but I want to get back to the main event, Travis. I want to get back...
Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr.,
we got the 54-year-old versus the 51-year-old. Two guys that you don't want to be on the opposite end of the ring against right now.
I don't care who you are. They're 54 and 51. Go ahead and talk smack. You can talk smack while you're standing in front of your refrigerator, but these guys will bulldoze you still.
Yeah, this is going to be a very interesting bout. So what I wanted to do, after maybe you check that Packer score, after you check that Packer score for me, what I want to do, Weekend Trav, is take a look at your perspective from Roy Jones Jr. winning, what it takes for him to win, and then Mike Tyson, why Mike Tyson wins. So both of those, and then we'll kind of follow a conversation that goes from there. So we want to start on the Roy Jones Jr. side after you give me whether or not I'm upset or happy. I'm upset. Really? What happened?
I don't know. 34-31, they lost.
Yeah, field goal. So, it is what it is.
I don't know how it happened,
it happened. They probably just stuffed us, and then...
I think that's what happened, because the quarterback stats are about the same as they were.
Best defense we played. Anyways, so it's not about the Packers.
All right, it's about the Vikings, but whatever.
The Vikings?
That's what they... They played the Colts.
They played the Colts, yeah.
The Cowboys played the Vikings, my bad.
Okay, so we're going back, sorry. Triller, pay-per-view, we're going Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr. Tell me, Weekend Trav, why does Roy Jones Jr. win this fight?
First of all, Roy Jones wins because I say he wins. But besides that, in my opinion, I think that Roy Jones wins because, one, he just fought a professional boxing match 2 years ago. Roy's last professional boxing match was 2018. So the guy's not that far gone. He kept fighting for a long time. He kept fighting until he was, 49 years old? Because now he's 51. So his last fight was 2018. Roy has the speed, has the boxing ability, has the smarts to know that he needs to stay away from Tyson because what they always say is in boxing, and so for one, Father Time is undefeated. Father Time never loses, meaning you get old in that ring and you lose. Like, it's just undefeated. But when you have two guys that probably are victim of Father Time, now it's even. So I think Roy Jones Jr. is smart enough and in shape enough now to know that he should stay away from Tyson's power. Because, in my opinion, Tyson's 54. The only thing he has left is his power. They say the power that you have is the last thing to go. So I think Tyson's reflexes, it's just science. It doesn't matter how much money you have. It doesn't matter how much working out you do. Your reflexes eventually slow down. That's a fact, no matter who you are. Eventually, your reflexes slow down. So I think Tyson's reflexes at 54 years old, 60 professional boxing matches, a stint in prison, a stint in drug abuse, all of that. Mm-hmm. I think Tyson's reflexes are slowed down a considerable amount. So I think it's Roy Jones' benefit. Roy Jones' reflexes are still there. Even though he's been knocked out multiple times as a boxer, I think his reflexes are there. I think his boxing ability is there. I think Roy Jones is smart enough to know that he needs to stay away from Tyson's power. And that's how Roy wins. Roy wins by boxing and staying away from Tyson's power. Roy Jones has a very good boxing ability, has a good jab, has a good reach, and he can do all of those things. Matter of fact, Roy Jones, I think, is an inch taller than Tyson, so his reach is a little longer. So Roy, if he's smart, which I believe he is, and I believe the game plan is smart, he's going to stay away from Tyson's power.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key. The key for Roy Jones winning is stay away from Tyson's power, which is 100% obvious to anybody in the world. It's Mike Tyson. He can punch.
Mm-hmm.
Stay away from his power. Box him. Stay on the outside. Tyson is notorious for, and even in his career, Tyson is notorious for fading down the stretch.
Mm-hmm.
So if Roy Jones can take him into the deeper waters, into the 6th, 7th, 8th rounds, he's going to benefit from that. So stay away from Tyson early when his power is going to be there, and you can beat him later. I don't know that Roy Jones will knock him out, but if Roy Jones can last 8 rounds, if it goes to a decision, I think Roy Jones wins.
Okay, so that's the game plan, but as we've quoted before, everyone has a game plan until they get punched in the mouth.
Via Mike Tyson.
Via Mike
Great
Tyson.
Quote.
So, yeah, I think you hit all these bullet points that it doesn't take a rocket scientist to understand that. Stay away from the power, mark and move, take it deep. Take it deep into the end of the fight, amongst other things. But let's flip the script a little bit. Tell me why Mike Tyson wins this fight.
Same reason. Mike Tyson wins this fight because of his power. Mike Tyson still, early on, will have the quickness and the speed early in that fight for the first couple of rounds. And if he can catch Roy Jones Jr. early, he can knock him out. Mm-hmm. Because Roy Jones has already proven to the whole world he can be knocked out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Tyson's 54 years old, but Tyson also knows how to punch.
Mm-hmm.
When you're a professional boxer your whole life, I mean, Tyson's been pro since he's, 19 or 20 years old. He's 54 now. You don't forget how to fight. It's like riding a bike. I haven't rode a bike, Brandon, for a couple of years, but I guarantee you if you give me a bike, I'll ride it, right?
Yep.
Tyson's the same way. He's not going to forget how to box.
Well, you see it from both these guys at the
exactly.
gym. They know what they're doing still.
And Tyson's not going to forget how to knock people out. Okay, he knows how to hurt people. He knows how to inflict pain.
God's a war.
Exactly. And if you know anything about Tyson, here's the deal. This is why Tyson was great, because he was a little off. And what I mean by that is he was a little crazy. He was. And I can openly admit that professional boxers, for one, overall, we're all a little crazy. We are. I might seem halfway normal. I'm not going to say fully normal. I might seem halfway normal, mm-hmm. but I'm not. I'm a little nuts.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be. Who else wants to step in a boxing ring with the best people in the world and get punched in the face? Okay? I don't like to get punched in the face. I'd rather be punching, but we also take punches sometimes. So we're a little crazy, dude. We are. We're a little mad. We're a small version of a mad scientist.
So would you say, though, Tyson feeds off of getting hit?
Yes, 100%. And I don't think, no, I know for sure that I don't believe Roy Jones Jr. has the power to knock Tyson out early. if there is a knockout on Roy Jones's part, it's going to be because Tyson gets tired,
yeah,
and Roy's going to wear him down. And eventually, because that's what happened to Tyson. Guys, if you watch Tyson's fight against Kevin McBride, okay, which is a very, very, very sad fight, but I believe it's Tyson's last professional boxing match ever. Kevin McBride knocked out Mike Tyson, but watch the fight. He knocked Mike Tyson down like twice, I believe. Tyson's sitting on his butt on the ropes, looking up, clear as day, and was just like, I'm done. Doesn't get up. So Tyson's got a chin. You don't usually knock Mike Tyson out cold. You don't. Not very many people have. And if you have, you're either Lennox Lewis, who is by far in the top 10 best heavyweights of all time. Doesn't get enough credit, but he is. So you don't knock Mike Tyson out cold. Even Lennox Lewis didn't. Lennox Lewis knocked Mike Tyson down. Legit. Mike Tyson's in the middle of the ring with his eyes wide open and just chose not to get up. So Tyson has that psychology in him where if he's tired and you're beating on him and he thinks that he can't beat you, mm-hmm, he'll stay down.
Yeah.
So that's the only how that I believe Roy Jones can knock him out, which would be like a TKO. It wouldn't be what your conventional knockout. Sure.
So we're looking at the Tyson victory coming as we all would expect.
Knockout.
Power.
Yep.
Early quickness. Attack. Disorient the game plan. That's the typical Mike Tyson fight. But it's also exciting. That's what we want to see.
He's going to come.
We're not looking for this thing. We don't. I'm sorry, but I don't think any of us wants to see this thing in the seventh or eighth round.
Nah.
We want
people
this early.
For early.
We want this early. We want these guys to just really take it to each other, and that's great. That's exciting for everybody. It's exciting for them too.
I'm excited for that.
100%. So that's your opinion on both of those. Obviously, we'll put the prediction out there. We've already kind of said it what you think. When we post that video, we're just more reiterating your perspective. You are taking Jones Jr. Don't give me the specifics, like rounds and things like that. So you have that, and I'm on
who's
the
one, Brandon?
I'm on the other side. I'm going Tyson.
Give me your professional.
To those points, really, because he's not going to come out sudden like be left-handed or anything. He's going to come out and he's going to want to attack and impose his will. And I think, given what I've seen so far, I get it. Jones Jr. is crafty, he's slippery, but Tyson's his wider frame is just a bit different. He's built differently.
He's a beast.
His especially at this age, I think your size width wise matters a lot. And I think the explosiveness is there, and if he catches him early, which obviously it's an if, but if he hits something early, it doesn't have to be to the face. Hits it to the ribs, hits something.
If he touches Jones has got a questionable chin.
Well, not even that, but if he gets him in his body, you're 51.
Yeah.
Your body ain't the same anymore either. I know it's only been a couple years removed.
Yeah.
Okay, but a couple years removed, you weren't fighting Mike Tyson.
Yeah, and you got to realize, too, that this isn't a real boxing match. So I can see Roy Jones Jr. or Tyson even, when the going gets really tough in a boxing match, when you're making millions but you're not fighting for the money. You're fighting for that, the ego, the all of that. In a boxing match, in a professional boxing match, I can tell you that when you're fighting for ego, not just money, for ego, you go a little harder.
Yeah.
When things get tough, you bear down. You're like, fuck this. I'm going to get it.
Ding.
I apologize for that. But you're like, I'm going to get this. But when Tyson Jones fight, they're going to have that. But also, I'm telling you right now for a fact, they're both retired. When things get really tough, the motivation inside them, when that every single fighter always has to answer questions in a fight. It always comes out of who you are. There's a time in the middle of a fight when things get tough. And that's life too, where everybody has to answer that question is, one, what's my why?
Yeah.
Is it worth it to take this damage and keep going? And I'm going to tell you right now that both of these guys, they've already been through that damage.
Yeah.
They don't want to go through it again because for their ego, they don't need to, because this is not a major, real boxing match. So whoever makes it tougher on the other guy, that's who's going to win. If Tyson catches Roy Jones Jr., I don't see Roy digging down really deep in the heat of the moment, digging down deep in the late rounds and coming out with a win in the championship rounds. No. We're not going to see that. If it gets hard, one of these guys are being like, it's not worth it.
To this, so to this bullet point of that fight, if this is what happens, here's why I give Tyson the advantage in that, is when you look at what he has come through from a training standpoint to now, to get ready for this fight. Rather than Jones Jr. has been training guys, he's kind of in shape already, whatever else. He's had to do more to get into boxing shape. I understand that. Yeah. But for the most part, he was in shape. Not purely for in a fight shape, but he was in the gym still. He was active. Tyson was not. No. He has gone through the fire to get where he's at now.
True.
In a short period of time. So I think when the going gets tough in that situation, who's going to dig deep and pull out what's necessary? The crazy guy is going to do it.
I mean, you're not completely wrong on that, and that's where I think that it's going to be good for TV is that when things get tough, we're gonna want to see which fighter can answer that question.
Yeah, I think I'm going to give it sounds so crazy to say this. I'm giving Tyson the mental edge in the fight.
That does sound crazy because he's the crazy one of the two.
But I think his time off and what he's kind of been through from a life standpoint and then reengaging into boxing and whatever else, his perspective of things is a lot different than it was back in his prime, obviously.
Well, I got to tell a crazy story about Tyson.
Yeah, so we'll do that in a second. So I give him the mental edge in this fight. So if it gets down to a situation that who's going to need that mental edge, and that's what's going to decide the fight, I give it to Tyson.
You know what? I think I'm not going to disagree with you, though. I'm going to disagree who's going to win because I think Joe's going to win.
Yeah, that's fine.
But I think you're right because I do think Tyson's working harder. He has worked harder to get where he's at now because only reason is because he was way more out of shape.
Yes.
He was. So I think his grit and his sacrifice has been more than Jones Jr.
Yes,
so I think you're right. I think if the going does get really tough, I do think that Tyson's probably like, you know what, man? I've devoted all this effort. I'm not going to give up. I'm not quitting now. And normally
he's pulling in that orgasmic talk. He's pulling in the Gods of War stuff.
Crazy, dude. That goes crazy.
I'm just telling you. So I give him the mental edge. I give the crazy guy the mental edge.
And I'm going to give that to you because that's where my story is going to come into effect is because Tyson's very mentally – you could say he's also mentally weak, but you could say he's mentally strong because that's how he used to beat a lot of people is because he was mentally intimidating to them. People, a lot of the fighters he fought, they lost before they stepped in the ring with him because they were so intimidated by the guy. Because one, his boxing ability, his power ability, his knockout ability, but also the dude was crazy. I literally, this is a real life conversation that I had with Lennox Lewis, who knocked out Mike Tyson.
Yeah.
I sat down with Lennox, just me and Lennox, one-on-one. We're in Jamaica, Montego Bay.
Yep.
Lennox can back this story up. We're sitting there and I was like, I kind of assumed that it would be Tyson, but I still wanted to ask him the question because he's fought a lot of greats. I said, he fought Klitschko's. He fought everybody.
Yeah.
I said, Lennox. I go, I know this is a cliche, man. I was like, but I'm a boxing guy. He's like, you know that. I was like, I'm a professional boxer too. And I was like, who is the most difficult / feared boxer that you ever fought? I thought it would be Tyson, but I thought it was very cliche. And he goes, Mike Tyson. Didn't even break. And I was like, okay. I was like, explain. He goes, okay. Lennox is a family guy.
Mm-hmm.
100% has a child, multiple children, wife, everything. Huge family guy. Is there for his family, loves his kids. So in the buildup to Lennox Lewis versus Mike Tyson, Mike Tyson told Lennox in a couple press conferences that he was going to eat his children.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Lennox was like, yeah, Travis, I knew he was crazy, but I looked him in his eyes, and when he told me that, he goes, I believed you. He goes, I know that you've met Tyson, all that. He goes, but I don't think you've ever looked Tyson in the eyes when he told you when to eat his children, eat your children. He goes, I genuinely believed in Travis. And in my mind, when I went into that fight, he goes, this is the first fight I've ever thought this. He goes, because most of the time when I do battle with somebody, I end up being friends with them afterwards because it's that camaraderie. He's like, but I thought I had to kill him. He goes, I'm not. He's like, and I don't feel any of that towards Tyson. I don't. But he wanted to eat my children. He goes, I believed him because I saw his eyes. He was crazy. He goes, I believed it. And I was like, I have to kill this guy. When I get in the ring, I literally have to kill this guy, because if I don't, he's going to kill me. And he genuinely might do something crazy. And like, I looked, I was just like, wow. And not to mention that, nobody really talks about this, but Mike Tyson bit Lennox Lewis mm-hmm. as well. So in the post or the pre-fight press conference, Google it, DuckDuckGo it. You'll see it. Do Lennox Lewis, Mike Tyson, and then do bite, and you'll mm-hmm. see it. So they were facing off, and it got a little heated, and Tyson starts walking over at Lennox Lewis, and Lennox is like, what the heck's going on? And he comes over, and people rush and break it all up, right? Well, they didn't break it up completely, because there's like 10 or 15 people, and there's like a melee going on, and Lennox is like, everybody's all around. He's like, I don't know what's going on. Next thing I know, I feel this sharp pain on my calf.
Yep.
And he goes, I'm like peeling people away. And he goes, I peeled enough people away. And I see Mike Tyson, Travis, looking up at me with my leg in his mouth. Bro, this is from Lennox. I'm speaking verbatim from Lennox Lewis telling me the story one-on-one. And he's telling me Mike Tyson had a chunk of his leg in his mouth. And he said, he was like, it was game over. He goes, from that point, I already thought I had to kill him because yep. he said he was going to eat my children. Travis, he bit me
yep.
at a press conference, and nobody's really talking about it. But there's video, there's pictures as well to back up what he's saying. Mike Tyson bit Lennox Lewis in a pre-fight press conference leading up to their fight, which also is why, if you watch that fight, there was about 12 police officers that when they both got in the ring, 12 police officers separated them before the bell rang. So they never did a whole like face-off
right.
where you used to go to the middle of the ring and the referee tells you, you know, blah, blah, blah. It never happened because they were so worried. So as soon as the bell rang, it was like, well, I'm going to unleash the beast, which is Mike Tyson, on him. And you know what? He ended up knocking Tyson out, I think, in the seventh or eighth round. And that's the story, but that's like, I literally got to sit down and hear a guy talk about knocking out Mike Tyson.
Which is, it's such an interesting story, to be honest with you, and funny, and a lot of things there.
Crazy.
To today, here's what I find, interesting is not the right word, but I don't know, my eyebrows are raised right now, because guess who's been relatively silent in the past few weeks leading up to this fight this weekend?
Tyson.
Mike Tyson.
Really weird. It's really weird.
So
it makes me worry.
Exactly.
I think he knows that, though.
But what do we think about that?
Do we think something crazy is going to happen?
Listen, I think
that's why people tune in.
I made the prediction many weeks ago that I think at some point Evander Holyfield shows up. And he's in the stands.
100%.
Yeah. Because this is all the lead up to this Legends Only League, right?
You brought that up a long time ago, actually.
Yep. So the whole point of these guys fighting on Triller, on the pay-per-view, is that it's going to promote this new offshoot of this Legends Only League, not just boxing, other sports, things along those lines, just showing off. Listen, just because you get into the older age, that doesn't mean it's over. Sports medicine is different. Training's different. Everything's different. Mental capacity is different. So this is going to be offshoot into a lot of cool stuff. I hope they talk a lot about that this weekend. But I just envision Holyfield somehow being around, involved, or whatever else, because you're starting to see more pictures and videos of him also training out there as well. Interesting.
He's similar age.
Interesting, right? So Mike Tyson's been a little silent, which is weird. He's just letting pictures do the talking for him, which I find very interesting. Very interesting. And it's a different kind of intimidation tactic.
Mm-hmm. It is because
Roy Jones Jr. has actually been the one talking more.
Yeah, and that actually worries me on my prediction, because I'm predicting Roy, and I always tell everybody, the person that talks the most, that's the person you better worry about, because meaning that's the most insecure person, usually. With the person who talks the most is also trying to cover up their insecurities sure. of their confidence. But Roy's confident. He knows what he can do. He does. He's not – there's. You're not asking Roy Jones Jr. right now to do anything that he's not capable of doing.
Right.
He is fully capable of beating Tyson. This is a chess match at the end of the day, too. It's these two guys both are capable of beating the other person.
Mm-hmm.
It's whoever shows up and implements the right game plan on Saturday night.
Right, right. So the most important question, because we're on opposite sides of the aisle on this one, what's the bet between you and me?
Ooh. Oh, you're putting me on the spot.
See, we don't plan this stuff. We don't do pre-production talking about this stuff. I have to just throw it out of left field here.
Because of the whole recent calling out of Weekend Trav.
Ooh.
So the winner, no, well, I don't know if I want to go that far, but it could. Okay, we can.
Okay,
go
well,
far.
What do you
no,
think?
No, no, we'll say this.
What do you think?
The winner gets to pick the loser's wardrobe.
Okay.
That could be facial as well.
Okay.
So, meaning,
I might need to take that off the table because now that I'm regrowing, I'm not shaving again for 11 months.
I will promise you that I will not make you shave it again.
Okay.
I'll put that out there.
Okay.
Hoping that you'll give that back, but you probably won't. But the other person gets to pick the other person's wardrobe, which is hat, shirt. I don't want to say facial, but I'll give that to you, I guess, facial, because I don't want to shave this. But
okay,
a bet is a bet.
We got it. We shake
wardrobe.
On it. Wardrobe. Shake on it. YouTube, you see it? Spotify, we just shook on it. That's the bet. If Mike Tyson wins, I pick the Weekend Trav ensemble wardrobe next time, and then vice versa if Roy Jones Jr. wins.
Also, though, the person who picked, so if Roy Jones wins, I get to pick your wardrobe, but I also have to pay for it.
Okay.
The winner still has to pay for it.
Okay. I don't like where this is going so far, but okay. And I mean,
I can make the loser
pay
for it.
I will equally not touch your facial hair.
Okay, I'm better with
good.
It. Okay, thank
okay.
you.
All right. So that's the best.
Facial hair's not touched.
Listen, if you're listening right now or watching, if we haven't sold this thing to you guys by now, then I don't know what's wrong with you. You need to be paying and tuning into this fight this coming weekend. Not only just for the main event, which is Mike Tyson, Roy Jones Jr., which is a blockbuster match, but also, you know what? Nate Robinson and Jake Paul is kind of, it's shaping up to something that will be interesting too. We're not sure about the Nate Robinson camp by any means, but you know.
He's been training super hard. I've seen some videos. Dude, he's taking it serious, but yeah. As I know boxing, and boxing, you don't learn overnight.
No,
you just
no. He's an athlete. I get that, but it's different. So this is going to be, in our opinion, in my specifically to me, I think this is going to be the most successful pay-per-view we've probably seen all year for boxing.
Dude, $49.99? What are you going to do with your night? It's COVID-19.
Listen, you're not
year.
You ain't going to Black Friday sales the day before to save that money.
Saturday, buy it.
Do it on Saturday. And you know what? Break all the rules from the blue states you live in. And just watch it with 10-plus people.
It's saying that it's $49.99 in the U.S. The event can be ordered on Fight TV, TysonTriller.com, and major cable/televite television providers.
So you have no reason not to. It's going to be an awesome fight. That's this Saturday. That's the 28th, correct? Yeah, the 28th, mm-hmm. And that's the right after Thanksgiving. You know, so what we're going to do here, we're going to wrap up, and we're going to give final thoughts over to Weekend Trav. What do you got for us?
Tune in. Boxing has been phenomenal, and I keep preaching it, but I promise you, I wouldn't say it unless it was true. Triller, but Triller.com. Check it out. Like, seriously, this, I'm not usually in big support of boxing matches that are not meaningful on the professional boxing current scene,
mm-hmm.
because this is not. It's not.
This is an
exhibition. However, what else are you doing on a Saturday after Thanksgiving? You're going to be home with your family, and I guarantee you all of your family, if you say the word Mike Tyson, you don't even have to say Jones Jr., say Mike Tyson. I promise you every person in your family will know who that is.
Yeah, yeah.
Turn it on. Buy it. It's worth it. It's worth it, not just because of those, but they're going to put on a fight, and that's why I support it. I support it because I don't normally support crazy exhibitions, but I support this one because it's going to be a fight.
Yeah, this is going to be
great. These two guys are going to fight. So I support it. And I also support the fact that I'm calling Roy Jones Jr. I might be emotional on this one because he's my first favorite fighter of all time. I'm calling him, and I think he's going to win. And if he doesn't, I'm putting my wardrobe on the chopping block for B Money, aka producer, to pick.
I already know what you're gonna wear. I already have it in my mind.
What is it? What
no,
is
I'm
it?
Not telling you. Oh, I'm not telling you.
I kind of want to know.
No.
What I have to like.
No. So
cringe about.
So that is this weekend. Obviously, it's gonna be a great matchup, and we are looking forward to it. We're gonna have some we're gonna have a more specific, detailed prediction video later this week. Obviously, we're gonna have the interview with BJ Flores as well this week. This is a great week, and on top of that, you know what? It's Thanksgiving. Everyone needs to be out there. Count your blessings. I know we're in a tough year and a tough season right now, but there is always something you can look at from a different angle and say, you know what? I'm thankful for this or that. Maybe it's family, friends, in career, whatever it could be. It could be a multitude of things. Maybe you're unemployed right now, but there's just something to be thankful for. There always is. We are in the greatest nation in the world, irregardless of politics. And so from all of us here at Weighing In with Travis Hartman, happy Thanksgiving. We appreciate everyone here that is tuning in, watching, following, subscribing. Thank you so much. If you haven't already, please consider doing so. And we just thank you so much from the bottoms of our hearts here. ELE.
Amen. God bless. Hallelujah.
Everyone love everyone. Thank you so much as well to our media partners, TH Boxing, Gulfstream Financial, and IF Enterprises. And I can't say thank you enough. Am I missing anything?
B Money. You're missing B Money.
I want.
Thank you, B Money.
Okay. Well, you're welcome, Weekend Trav. So with that, that there is Travis Hartman.
That there is Brandon Waters.
Thanks for joining us. Happy Thanksgiving, depending on when you're seeing this. God bless.
God bless, guys.